Recording here, stand by.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are recording and broadcasting. The floor is yours.
Excellent, thank you. Well, greetings, everybody. I call this regular meeting of the Cambria Community Services District to order. We do have a quorum, all five directors present. Staff present are Mr. D'Enzo, GM Weigold, and Council Timothy Carmel. And Finance Manager Duffield. There are presently nine people in the audience. I will announce their names when we get to public comment. So let's please, if you will all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. So, Osana, may we have the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everybody. So let's see, we are now ready to a very brief little president's report. The one thing I need to let you know about is since our last meeting in December, I had a conference call with Karen and Director Dean and Julie Amadei from the skate park working through some issues. And so it was appropriate at that time to use my privilege as president to appoint an ad hoc, temporary ad hoc committee to work with Ms. Amadei and kind of act as a kind of a go-between between the board and the Skate Cambria folks. So I just wanted to alert you all to that. It's not something that I like to do very often, but it did seem a wise choice at that particular time. That's really all I have to say at the moment, except that I feel optimistic about this year. I don't know why, but we might as well be optimistic. So having said that, then, let's see. It's time for some, we have agenda review. That would be additions and, mostly deletions, I suppose, or moving things around. Do we have any mods to the agenda? I see none. Okay. Seeing none. Moving forward then to the commission reports, and we have a PROS commission report. Oh, wait, just a moment. Director Farmer, yes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, President Howell. Under board member communications.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry. Thank you for that.
It's not a problem. So I just wanted to briefly mention that green space, which, of course, has been very active in tree planting here in our community, is once again having another tree planting later this month. So they're going to be planting about 900 Monterey Pine seedlings up in the San Simeon campground area in the Washburn area there. And this is going to take place on Saturday the 22nd and Sunday the 23rd, starting at 10 a.m. on both days. Anyone that would be interested, obviously individuals or couples or even families, can participate, the more the merrier, so to speak. So if anyone would like to get involved, you can call this particular, go to this email address, Bob Fountain. That's Fountain, Bob Fountain. He's a member of Green Space. BobFountain@charter.net, and leave your name and phone number and the preferred date that you'd like to work and how many people would be involved in your group, and he will get back to you. So once again, that's BobFountain@charter.net, and the planting dates will be Saturday, January the 22nd, Sunday, January 23rd, at the San Simeon campground in the Washburn area. And I do want to mention that masks are required to enter the campground. Mm-hmm. And also bring a shovel and knee pads and boots and a hat and drinking water and gloves, and you'll be set to go. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Director Farmer. Are there any other board member communications, announcements? Okay, I have just a brief, just as I take this opportunity to remind the folks out there in the in Zoom land that are that may be watching us today or later, that we are doing our strategic planning session on Tuesday, January 25th, with a public extended public comment period to be the day before on a Monday, January 24th. And I do encourage anyone who has anything to say to the board or any ideas, please do join us on the 24th. I will give you ample opportunity to express yourselves. So I would look forward to seeing a whole lot of folks from the community there on the 24th of January. So moving on then, we will now do the PROS Commission report. Mr. Niffen.
Thank you, President Howe, directors. Don't have anything really extraordinary to report other than just the normal goings-on of the commission. The skate park people are working on an event to raise money where they bring professionals and just awareness to their project. They're working on that in March sometime. They're going to need some assistance from the board in regards to permits and whatnot. I think that's on discussion for later. Other than that, the discussion that's kind of fun that we're having now, if people want to think about something for the future, is just the bike trails and the movement of people around town without their cars. And that's been on the discussion for a long time for people. It's not necessarily something that falls under the direct jurisdiction of the PROS or the CCSD, but we all live here and it's a piece of the puzzle going forward. And I would just encourage everybody to look and see what San Luis has done on Hygera and Marsh Streets for their movement and look at it and evaluate it and see, you know, if there's answers there that might behoove us as we start to try to fix some of those issues. So that was something on the future that doesn't have anything to do with stuff that we've been talking about directly, but it is something that's kind of fun to keep in the back of our minds. The East Ranch project and the bathroom seems to be moving forward. We're going forward with that. Monty and everybody are putting that together. So we hope to see shovels in the ground. And quite frankly, I've been out there running around on that piece of dirt. And once we get the bathrooms out there, the possibilities of things to do out there, I think inexpensively and, you know, extensively, that'll be fun for some older people to access that property. So we're looking forward to that. Anything else? I'll take questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Niffen. Do we have any questions from the board? Seeing none, I think we can go to the public for some questions. So members of the public, do you wish to ask any questions of Mr. Niffen or make any observations? Hold on a minute. Yes. Okay, I see nobody from the public. However, I do see Director Farmer has his hand up. Director Farmer.
I just want to make the comment, the observation, following up on Mr. Niffen with regard to bike riders in town. I'm sure most of us that live here, and even those of you that don't, but that work at the district and still travel through town, we are seeing more and more bike riders, whether it's regular bicycles or electric bicycles, all around the area, but especially downtown. So I just want to encourage people to be alert when you're driving downtown, just for that reason alone, because we tend not to be looking, especially people coming up behind us, let's say. So I just wanted to put that out there for us. Us folks that drive through Camry to be extra alert to people on bicycles, especially people that don't live here and are just visiting town and are traveling, especially on the electric bikes, because they tend to move a little bit faster.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Yes, Vice President Dean.
This is not a comment on his report. I just wanted to congratulate Steve for becoming the new owner of the Sea Chest. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Excellent. Yes. Good wishes, Mr. Niffen.
Thanks.
I think it's good fishes, since it's the sea chest, excuse me.
Okay. very good. Any further questions or comments for Mr. Niffen? I see somebody in the audience seems to, Chelsea Foster. Osana, would you please bring in Chelsea?
There we go.
There you go.
Hi. Greetings, President and all directors. Just one quick question. In reviewing and pre-reviewing the agenda, I noticed that the public comment is scooted to the front side of the agenda items, and that was a flip of what was going on in the last handful of calls. Is that still the case?
Not sure. Could you repeat your question one more time, Chelsea? I'm not sure I got it.
Oh, sorry. Are we doing public comment like in the front of this meeting, in the beginning now, or are we waiting until after you address the items on agenda?
Oh, thank you for asking that question. It's an excellent question. Basically, what we're doing is, what we just finished was a specific public comment related to Mr. Niffen's report, but there's two kinds of comment in meetings. There's comment that's general and that doesn't apply to anything on the agenda. And that will be the next item on our agenda, will be general public comment. And then as we deal with each specific item, we'll have public comment on those items. So whether you speak before or after the item is presented kind of depends upon the nature of the item. But rest assured that, like, for example, if you came to talk about 6B, then you would want to wait till we get down to that. But if you had something to tell us or about how you feel about the board in general or about life in Cambria in general, or you want to talk about the meaning of life or something of that nature, then this the opportunity will come when I call for general public comment. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. Thank you for the clarification. Just wanted to clear that up because there was a change from, you know, previous meetings. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chelsea. Yes, we switch things around like this to keep you guys on your toes.
Well, good. It's working. Thank you.
Okay, very good. And I'm sure that others would have appreciated the fact that you asked that question. I think then we are ready. If there's no further public comment or board comment regarding the Prose Commission report, thank you, Mr. Niffen, very much. And let us then proceed to general public comment. So this is public comment for items that are anything that's within our jurisdiction, but that's not on the agenda. And I see, before I call for public comment, I will announce the public who are presently here. There's 12 of you, and those of you who've come in with your names, I can read. So it's Jim Townsend, Alan Dean, Barbara Bronson Gray, Chelsea Foster, Christine Heinrichs, Laura and Crosby Schwartz, Jeffrey Smith, Julie Amade, and Linda Finley. So those are all who are present at this time. So yes, Jim Townsend, please. Please let Jim bring Jim Townsend in, Osana.
Please unmute, Jim, Mr. Townsend.
Wait, there we are. Got it? Can you hear me now? Okay, thank you very much. First of all, I would like to acknowledge CCSC's efforts to deal with the broken water pipe over the holidays. While I understand there is often a fair amount of Monday morning quarterbacking as to the best approach to handling an issue like this, I think it was a true crisis, and I very much appreciate the district's efforts to deal with it promptly. My comment regards the status of the WRF facility. This is a project, and like all projects, it should have had a clearly defined scope, schedule, and budget. While the scope may have meandered a bit over the years, at least since 2017, there has not been a clearly defined schedule or budget. I understand that once the permit application is deemed complete by the county, that parts of the processing are beyond CCSD's control. But the district should be able to provide a clearly defined schedule for submitting a complete application, should have been able to do that long before now. it is not too late to inform the community, which has been paying for the WRF for something like 7 years now, as to the remaining schedule for submitting a completed application. It also should not be difficult to provide the budget for the project, both funds expended to date and the estimated cost to complete and operate the system. In the interest of good communication and transparency, I, for one, respectfully request that the district provide that information to the community. Thanks very much for the opportunity to make a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Townsend. Do we have any additional public comment at this time? Seeing none, I will say, I can just respond briefly that we will see what we can. The items that you raise are of interest, I think, to everyone, and some of these will be coming up in a way that we will be able to discuss in public and try to give people some sense as to where we are and where we're going and how we intend to get there. So thank you for those observations. Moving on, we are now going to the consent agenda, which is the consideration to instruct staff to issue a notice of interest for Cal OES HMGP grant for an emergency alert system. So, GM Weigold, would you go ahead and present this item?
President Howell, generally on consent, we don't introduce the items, but I'm happy to if you want.
I get your point, but I think we should go ahead and present it. I mean, whether we discuss it or not is another issue. Then we can pull it from consent if we wish to discuss. Director Gray.
Yeah, just to make it uncomplicated, I'll say I request this to be pulled from
the consent. Oh, okay, that makes it easy. Okay, so there being no other items on the consent agenda, which we would then deal with first, we can now deal with this item separately. So now, GM Weigold, please go ahead and present the item.
Sure, President Howell. Agenda item 5A is consideration to instruct staff to issue a notice of interest for Cal OES HMGP grant for an emergency alert system. Staff recommends that the board consider authorizing the general manager to submit a notice of interest, or NOI, for the California Office of Emergency Services, Cal OES, Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, HMGP, for an emergency alert system for the community. We've got Chief Hollingsworth standing by here, and I'd prefer to throw it over to him here, and he can explain a little bit more the ins and outs of the application program and the purpose of the alert system. Thank you.
Thank you, GM Weigold. So, yeah, please proceed, Chief Hollingsworth.
All right, President Howell, thank you for that. Thank you for letting me be here today. I think the staff report is fairly self-explanatory. However, I can expand on it a little bit. These HMGP grants are only become available secondary to a presidential disaster declaration and then that at the state level. Depending on how OAS formulates these grants, they typically have some kind of a cost share analysis. In this instance, it's a 25% cost share that would have to be borne by the CCSD. This is a two-step grant application process. The first is submitting what's considered called an NOI, a notice of interest. That's a 2 or 3 page document saying, hello, Cal OES, this is the CCSD, and we would like to submit a grant for the following. In this case, it happens to be this alert system, which we have been talking about doing now for a number of years. If we are chosen to move forward, there's an analysis at the state level of our NOI. Then we have to submit a full sub-application, which is a many, many, many page document, which I would be working with staff and other input personnel, primarily people like Craig Uferheide and Dave Pearson, who have both been instrumental in getting us this far and getting us the information. So the grant itself would give us the ability to reach out and get information to the public, which is something we have been identified as one of the lacking pieces in our evacuation process. So if the incident occurs and I have to issue some kind of an evacuation order, how do we now get that information to the community? And one of the ways of doing that, along with Reverse 911 and Smart 911 and programs like Nixle, is be able to tap into existing infrastructure AM radio, at road signs. You've all been on trips when you drive by someplace and it says for an emergency, tune into this radio station. That type of infrastructure would be added. We probably would have to add a version, some kind of an AM tower. We've had some evaluation of the fire station location being probable that that's the best location. Now the system we're looking is trying to capture all of the high public residency areas on the North Coast, which does include San Simeon. So the system we're talking about would capture that as well. I could break that down farther and give you more specific information, but I think that's the high 10,000 foot view.
Thank you, Chief. Does anyone have any questions for the Chief? Clarification or anything? Okay. Director Dean, it looked like your hand was about to go up. Vice President Dean? Yeah, please.
My unmute button here. I was going to make a motion.
Oh, well, please do.
Okay. I move that we authorize the general manager to submit a notice of interest for the California Office of Emergency Services Hazard Mitigation Grant Program for Emergency Alert System for the community.
Excellent.
And I enthusiastically second.
By Director Gray, so it's been moved and seconded that we instruct staff to issue a notice of interest for Cal OES HGMGP grant for an emergency alert system. Do we have any debate on this? Director Steidel.
Unmuted. I don't know if you wanted to take public comment before the vote.
We should definitely do that. Thank you for that. Let's make sure everybody, so the first thing we'll public comment, then we'll come back for any further discussion and then a vote. Out there in the audience there, do you guys have anything you wish to say? This is your call for public comment at this point. I'll give you just a second I'm not seeing any. So no one has chosen to speak on this item. So back to the board. Anybody on the board wish to discuss this item before we vote on it? Seeing none, I think you are all ready for the question. So, Osana, would you be so good as to call the roll?
Yes. Vice President Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. Director Steidel.
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Aye. And President Howell.
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. Five ayes. Thank you.
Five ayes. The motion passes unanimously. Okay, we are now ready for item. This will be regular business, commencing with a discussion and consideration to provide instructions to the Bylaw Review Ad Hoc Committee to review Board Standing Committee and PR Pros Commission bylaws. And I think we do have some staff words on this. Yes, GM Weigel, could you please present this item?
Yes, President Howell. Agenda item 6A is discussion and consideration to provide instructions to the Bylaw Review Ad Hoc Committee to review Board Standing Committee and Pros Commission bylaws. It is recommended that the board discuss and consider providing instructions to the Bylaw Review Ad Hoc Committee to review Board Standing Committee and Pros Commission bylaws. According to our board bylaws, Section 11, which is the board bylaw review policy, and Section 11.1 subject to 3.1, the bylaws are to be reviewed annually at the first regular meeting in January, and amendments to be considered by adoption at the board at the first regular meeting in February. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, President Hell.
Thank you, Jim Weigold. Do we have any questions for clarification or words of clarification from the board? Seeing none, we'll go to public comment. So I'm calling for public comment on 6A, which is to provide instructions to the Ad Hoc Committee for Bylaw and Ad Hoc Committee Standing Committee review Do I see anyone out there in the public wishing to comment on this? Going once, going twice. Seeing no public comment, we'll come back to the board. So fellow directors, this is your chance now to discuss. So I see Director Farmer followed by Director Steidel.
Mr. President Howell, I just want to mention for clarification for us board members as well as members of the community, perhaps you should let us know who the members of the ad hoc committee are.
Ah, an interesting point. Thank you for that. Now I'll answer Director Farmer's question first, Director Steidel. The ad hoc committee consists of directors, Director Gray and Vice President Dean. And this was set up when during our initial setup meeting, which was, I think, our it was actually an extended meeting from our first week in the first December meeting. So let's see. Yes. So Director Steidel, you have a comment.
Thank you, President Howell. I was just curious. We have very loosely had conversations about alignments of some of the proposed structure as far as the other standing committees that we have. And generally, the bylaws of the standing committees are the same, with the exception of the small portion that addresses specifically the actions of any particular or authorities of any particular standing committee. So I guess my question is, are we looking to align the PROS bylaws in the same way as our other standing committees with the description of their work content that is specific to them in the way that we have with their others?
That's a very good, we could do that. Here's my thinking on that, and you all can kind of decide how you want to proceed, but my thought on this is there's a couple of specifics that I'm interested in, and there may be certain things that each of you are interested in, and I thought probably the best, a good way to proceed on this would be for each of us to speak what our concerns are or our interests, and that the ad hoc committee then can take that. They can either agree or not, but at least it gives them some sense as to where the various ones of us might like them to go. And I think, Director Steidel, that's one of the issues. Now, we could specifically ask for certain things by motion if we wanted to, or we can simply give informal instructions, not as a board, but as individual directors, to the ad hoc committee and let them come back with something, and then we could further discuss it at that point. I leave it up to you if you wish to move a particular item. Otherwise, I'd say that you could just voice your concerns, and we'll make sure that those are all, that the ad hoc committee takes those in hand and considers them. So go ahead, Director Steidel.
I don't have any problem with either one of the processes. The only thing that I guess I would add at this point is just that as their advisory committees, I think the crux of the manager for the standing committees is in the description of the work content required or requested by the board, and the rest of it is pretty much the same across the board. So
good point on that one. Yes, Director Gray.
Yeah, thank you, President Howell. I have a question. It's probably made directed at you or at Mr. Carmel, but it has to do with the scope of that bylaw section 11. Does this apply, this annual review provision apply only to the board bylaws, or are the, as Director Steidel was discussing, are the standing committee bylaws also included in that schedule, or is it possible to review the standing committee bylaws separately from the board bylaws at another time, for instance?
That's a very good point, and I think I can answer some of that. The actual standing committee bylaws that are common to the three standing committees specify a biannual review, mm-hmm. but it doesn't. It doesn't mean that it cannot be. They cannot be reviewed. In the case of the board bylaws, there is that specification that they be reviewed annually. Now, that whole schedule is subject to, I mean, this may be something, perhaps an annual review of the bylaws may be too much, maybe only an even numbered years or something. So that's something for the ad hoc to think about. Mm-hmm. I see nothing that prevents, and there's another reason why I think that these may, Council, you can weigh in on this, but my take on this is that the board bylaws and the standing committee bylaws are really very closely related. There are passages in the board bylaws that specifically refer to the standing committees. So I think one of the issues will be harmonizing the board bylaws with that, especially areas where it makes reference to the standing committees, that the standing committee bylaws need to be harmonized. So I think that it would be my suggestion that the ad hoc committee look at both of those together, the standing committee bylaws and the board bylaws. That would be my suggestion. But again, I think it's really up to your ad hoc to decide how best to deal with that. Vice President Dean.
So it sounds like you want us to, we're being asked to more closely align the PROS bylaws with the rest of the standing committee bylaws. But the standing committees have a director as chair. And I know that we have talked about trying to reorganize PROS so that they do have a chair, a director as chair. So which comes first? Going through the process of changing the way PROS is structured and having a director as chair, or realigning the bylaws, taking into consideration that a director is chair? Which comes first, the chicken or the egg here?
Let me make a suggestion before, and then Director Steidel. My suggestion is, well, you have a choice, I think, with the PROS bylaws. First of all, I think that one of the desires, and my desire is that we make the change to the PROS commission sooner than later, if it is our desire to do so, because it's a rather lengthy process. And so the sooner it gets started, the sooner it can be finished, and then the commission can move forward with the new structure. So for that reason, I would suggest looking at you could actually look at the PROS commission as a separate unit. And there's a couple of possibilities. You can do one of two things, possibly one of three or four things. But one thing that has to happen, whatever is done, is that our municipal code will need to be modified. And that's the long process. Now, one approach would be to simply modify the municipal code to take account of the new structure that we're, if we propose to make that change, that is to say, to let a director be an ex officio member and chairman of the commission. You could simply amend the existing code to adjust it, in other words. That's one possibility. Or, now this is where Mr. Carmel, you may need to correct me, or you could repeal the municipal code, and then you could substitute by resolution a set of bylaws that would then be more ranked at the same level as the standing committee bylaws. So, I think it should really be up to the ad hoc to consider what I have my own preference, but I think that would probably be, I'd like to hear back from the ad hoc committee what they think the best approach is. The other thing, though, if I can weigh in, and then I would wait till the end to issue my own opinions. But in this case, just to stimulate the discussion a little bit, let me give you my little hot concerns. So having to do with that, the issue with the PROS is to modify the structure at least to the point where you have the so that we have better communication going between the board and PROS to do something like with our standing committees where the chair of PROS is actually a director, but with the same kind of duties and restrictions as are present in the standing committees. However, if it were, again, if it were me and I were doing this, I would not change other aspects of the PROS. I don't think, I'm not even sure their charge needs to be changed, but that's an issue. But the other things having to do with the structure in terms of terms of commissioners, the use of alternates, I would leave that alone. It seems to be working, and unless you feel a good reason to change it, I wouldn't change it if I were in your shoes. So that's the so the two things that I'm asking there is for the ad hoc, in my opinion, let's do the PROS first so we can get that process moving. And then after we deal with that, come back and look at the universe of the board and the existing standing committee bylaws. That would be my suggestion. And apropos of that, I'll just lay out the whole thing and then that way you'll have it. And again, these are just thoughts, and I expect the same, you know, we don't need to debate, we can disagree and each give our own things and then let the ad hoc work through it. In terms of our own board bylaws, I don't have too much of an issue with, although I think maybe they should be a little more difficult to change than they presently are. Presently, it only requires a majority of the board membership to change it. And I'm kind of wondering, that's a little unusual. Most situations, the bylaws change would require a supermajority. So that's something for the ad hoc to think about. And the other thing has to do with this problem that we have. It's a structural problem in regard to the standing committees, is what we need some kind of provision for the situation where, for whatever reason, a director is unable or unwilling to chair one of the standing committees or the PROS commission. We need to provide for that eventuality. So those are the two areas that I would ask for. So anyway, let me, I've had my say now. As I say, I apologize for speaking. Usually I don't want to take advantage of my position, so I prefer to speak last, but I think to stimulate your thoughts, I thought I should throw these out. I think Director Gray, you were waiting for a while there, and then Director.
Yeah, thank you, President Howell. I listened to the discussion about the PROS bylaws, the PROS restructuring, or whatever you want to call it, and then the board bylaws and the standing committee bylaws. I think we're talking about two different activities or two different things, and I differ in my sense of a timetable here. I think the task of this specific ad hoc really is to look at the board bylaws. And of course, the standing committee bylaws are incorporated in the board bylaws. It's all kind of one, it's in one room, essentially. PROS is kind of different because PROS is not incorporated into the board bylaws. They have their own system. They're outside the board bylaws. They are outside the standing committee system. And I think it's also almost a separate action that needs to be taken apart from the bylaw review. For instance, to amend the municipal code, which would have to be done if we're going to do anything with their structure, would require obviously a totally different type of action than we're talking about, which is the review of bylaws. So I would submit that maybe this ad hoc committee, Vice President Dean and myself, should be tasked with the board bylaws and standing committee bylaws only for now, so that we can come back with a report in a timely manner and recommendations. And that, I'm not sure we even should be the ones to do it, but that the PROS situation be dealt with under a separate format or separate framework.
Okay. Thank you, Director Gray. Yeah, Director Steidel.
It seems, and maybe I'm remembering this incorrectly, so I'll need your feedback, Mr. Carmel. I've thought that we could take action and then revise the municipal code. I mean, it's an action that we have to revise it, but do we don't I don't believe we have to revise the municipal code before we can take action, because you wouldn't know what to revise the municipal code to be.
You mean take action on the bylaws?
Yes.
You could do that separately.
Or do you mean by take action, Director Steidel, do you mean to go ahead with the reconstitution of the PROS Commission?
Right.
And then backfill the into the municipal code after?
And reflect those actions then as the new municipal code.
I see. So, yeah, does that clarify the question, Mr. Carmel?
So long as the resolution that you end up adopting doesn't contradict what's in the code.
Well, in this case, we would be changing the structure, so it would contradict what's in the code.
It would. But
the question is, do we have to change the code and then?
I think that action would militate in favor of changing the code first, getting that problem out of the way.
Okay.
Sort of clearing the air, and then start with your resolution. And the ordinance would essentially say, you'll now establish this by resolution, which is much more flexible, doesn't take two readings and a 30-day waiting period.
Okay.
Okay. So I think maybe we could use a couple of motions here. Maybe I think. Let's make sure everyone's had a chance to speak first. Any other thoughts? just to respond to Director Gray briefly. Go ahead, Vice President Dean. Please go ahead.
I'm still not real clear whether we're going to work on their bylaws first or do the resolution first.
Okay. Let's say specifically the resolution, this has to do with the change to the code, specifically the PROS issue. So mm-hmm. What we want to do is change the way PROS, certain aspects of the way PROS is constituted. I think you would need a resolution to present the new form, at the same time a resolution repealing the municipal code, but the new form couldn't go into effect until the municipal code is actually repealed. Again, this is a chicken and egg problem. Does that work, Mr. Carmel?
It does. I think you could use the resolution to state your intentions and be very specific, and essentially then do the next step separately.
So what would such a resolution look like?
It would set forth your intention as to how you're going to restructure PROS.
Ah, got it. So there would be a resolution saying how we would do it, and then we would follow up with the repeal of the municipal code with its 30-day hearing, the whole dance that we have to go through, and then based on the resolution come up with the new bylaws for the PROS Commission. I think that did I state that correctly?
The new municipal code.
Well, that's a decision. It could either be the code which we simply repeal that current section, or and with the indication that it will subsequently be in a set of bylaws instead of the code. Or you could go ahead and leave that section there and simply amend the municipal code itself. Two ways you could do it. And I think it's up to the ad hoc to make a recommendation on that. That would be my suggestion.
One other method you could use is you can set forth that the resolution is not going to take effect until the municipal code has been amended. That way you could probably do it in advance.
Oh.
So you'd actually state that this resolution won't take effect until the municipal code is amended, to either be consistent with it or repealed.
Cool. That would work, yeah. I have a feeling that this ad hoc is going to be consulting with you a little bit. So
yeah, it's kind of confusing.
The response to Director Gray is that because of the time aspect involved, while your argument has merit in my opinion, getting the PROS restructured and moving forward I think, to my mind, I'd rather see, I personally would rather see that happen sooner than later. Whereas if you do the, if you do everything in the reverse, you'll have at least a month just to get through the, from the ad hoc committee to the board. The board will then have to decide based upon what you've recommended. Then there'll be yet another month before we can actually make the change. So that's 2 months down the road, and possibly more depending upon how discussions go. So I think if we could get the pros restructured as soon as possible would be my preference. But again, I don't know. But that's, I think maybe we do need a motion to direct the ad hoc as to where they should start. And we may need a motion saying it is our intention, or we may just, I don't know. I think I'm going to put it back on the ad hoc. What do you need? What level of direction do you need from the board in order to do your work, assuming that you'll accept both the assignment for the board bylaws, standing committee bylaws, and the pros bylaws, which I really would, again, my preference is that you deal with that as well. But if you would prefer to work, as Director Gray says, with it as a separate item and a possibly separate ad hoc, then we probably need a motion to that effect as well. So, Director Gray, you have your hand up.
Yeah, that to answer your question in terms of what guidance we need, I think the pros question is a much more complicated one for us to deal with as an ad hoc committee, because it's not clear to me exactly when you're talking about restructuring how far you want us to go in that direction. I mean, the simple thing to do would be to give it the structure of a standing committee, but and make it, you know, plug all the standing committee rules in for selection of members and stuff like that, and just have it as a standing committee with pretty much the current pros work plan or mandate, what you want to call it, responsibilities. Or do you want things just to be tweaked so that we have an additional member who's a board member? I'm not clear exactly how deep you want us to go into that, or how much of a change that the board wants.
Ah, okay. Well, let's see. Let's ask the board. I think at this point, I do have an opinion about that, but Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell. I don't see Steve Nissen's, face on the screen. I see that he's still in attendance. Perhaps we could ask for some feedback from him, since he's the current chair of PROS and has been for quite a while. And obviously this would kind of affect his status, but also it would be good to get some feedback from him as to how he feels best to pursue this item.
Thank you, Director Farmer. That's a very excellent idea. And let's do that. And then I also see a member of the audience, so we will take some public comment on this eventually. So yes, Mr. Niffen, please weigh in on this issue.
Well, to be honest, I was not following it as closely as I should have been following it. I guess my overall question is, what are we trying to accomplish?
That's a good question.
You know, and to me, mm-hmm. it's a larger question than myself, because to me, it goes more to the relationship with the Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch people and how you see guidance on that particular issue and piece of property.
Hmm. I see. That's a good point. I think, again, in response to Director Gray, I think the main issue had to do with, this all came about as the issue of trying to help PROS give it some, so that a little more, a tighter line of communication. There seemed to be some issues as to, and also to maybe give a little more input into the PROS processes from the board, but by the same token, get a little more input going the other way as well. In my opinion, much of everything else I would leave alone. Again, that to going to Director Gray's comment, my advice would be if it is the board's intent to at least make that one change, that as to how, in other words, add another member ex officio whose job it is to chair the meetings, only vote in the case of a tie, and who's responsible for it with the assistance of the vice chair of preparing the and staff of preparing the agendas, and then making the committee report to the board. I think I would leave everything else alone. I'd leave the charge alone. I would leave the I guess what I'm saying, Director Gray, is my advice would be to simply, if it ain't broke, let's not fix it. Or let's fix only the parts that we see that we would like to change. And so I don't think we would necessarily want to mess with the structure of PROS or however else it does its business. The whole point of this would be to facilitate it in terms of the work that it's been doing. And of course, if that change wouldn't help in that regard, then we probably shouldn't make that change. But that's my thought anyway. Director Steidel.
Thank you, President Howell. I think that perhaps if we set aside PROS as far as this agenda item is concerned and just address it for the other items that are part of the normal review process, and that as the short-term resolution, we take action on the capability that's already embedded into the PROS structure that says that a board member can be assigned as a liaison with PROS, and go ahead and get that in place and see if that helps to expand and assist in the communication between PROS and the board, and then adopt a review of what additional action we may want to take in terms of the structure of PROS overall and its alignment to the same structures that we have in place for our other standing committees.
Okay. Well, okay. Vice President Dean.
I do believe we did appoint an ex officio liaison to PROS, and that would be Director Farmer.
Right.
But I agree on setting aside the rest of this regarding PROS, and let us work on the standing committee and board bylaws for now.
All right. I don't know that we require a motion to do that, since that was what was set up. The one thing, though, and I don't know if we need a motion for this or not, but I really would like, and this is important to me, that the output from the ad hoc should be presented to the policy committee for discussion and comment, not for changing, but for discussion and comment prior to bringing it to the board. So that's something I would request. I see a tremendous value added whenever we have proposals from staff regarding resources and infrastructure issues, and or when when the finance committee receives information from the finance manager. Those discussions are incredibly valuable, and I think that similar discussions could very well take place, and with some profit, certainly another option in terms of receiving community input, if there is any, and certainly a chance for interested board members to become acquainted with the issues before it actually comes in front of us at a board meeting. So that is something that I would like to see. Director Gray, and then I think Director Steidel.
Isn't a referral to the policy committee, though, something the board, whole board has to decide on?
Oh, I'm willing to make that motion. So if I need to, I will. Yeah, I just wanted to express that first and see that if I don't sense a lot of opposition, then because you don't normally by board motion refer things to the R&I committee, nor do you normally by board motion refer things to the finance committee. Sometimes you do, but not always. So I don't know that this situation is any different. Director Steidel.
I appreciate your position, President Howell, but I don't know that I would support that as a process for two reasons. One is there isn't currently a chair of the committee, so there isn't anyone to provide insight or feedback or structure to the committee members in terms of what they would be being tasked with. And I think that that's a difficulty, that that not being defined. And the other thing is that in this case, where we're talking about something that, I mean, basically we're talking policy. I mean, and there's the policy committee isn't chartered with developing policy or accepting policy or defining policy for the board. And so I'm afraid that I'm not a strong supporter of that.
Oh, thank you. Yes, Director Gray, please go ahead.
Yeah, I would suggest as a, maybe as an alternative, in which this would follow more than the typical procedure, since we're an ad hoc committee that reports to the board, and that's our mission, we could report our content to the board. The board may then choose to refer to the policy committee, but I think we should make our first stop at the board, and then the policy, if the board chooses, it can have the policy review our output.
Well, okay, I can see that. As I say, I'm not necessarily, I think I'm going to have to make a motion on this because I understand what you're saying, but I want to remind everybody, I didn't say anything about any committee changing anything that was presented to them. I said present for comment and review, not for change. And this is no different than when the finance manager presents a budget to the finance committee. The board doesn't make a motion to present that. You know, we do not have Pam coming to the board and then saying, now can I go to the finance committee? That's not happening. It does not require a motion. Vice President Dean.
I think both Director Steidel and Director Gray have a point. Board ad hoc, this is a board ad hoc committee, and board ad hoc committees normally report to the board. And then I think that we can refer to the policy committee if we want it further reviewed. But this is a little bit different than what we're talking about with R&I and with finance, because R&I and finance aren't dealing with ad hoc committees of the board. We're following the responsibilities that the board has given us. That's separate from an ad hoc committee working on something. I kind of think I agree that maybe our report should go to the board and then go to policy if it needs to. The other thing I'm concerned about still is the bylaws say that a director is supposed to be the chair of a standing committee, and that the vice chair leads the meeting when the chair is not available. In this case, there is no chair to be available. So how does that work? Does that mean the vice chair is now the chair, but the chair is supposed to be a director? So I'm a little confused on that issue because there is no director as the chair of policy. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I mean, I can see that. But now the problem is that this is why we need to have this dealt with in the bylaws. As it presently stands, if what you're saying is that the committee cannot actually act in any real way without a chairman from the board, then the refusal or inability of a board member to be a chair of a committee basically kills the committee. And I don't think that's acceptable. So I'm not sure that this argument holds. However, I can see from the sense of what you guys are saying that this issue is probably going to come up again. So I will not move in anything at this point. I think maybe after Director Steidel, after you speak, I think then we will just let the ad hoc go forward with what information we've given it. Please go ahead, Director Steidel.
Well, I agree with what Vice President Dean is saying, and that is the crux of the matter. All of a sudden, it's the idea that a board member is no longer in control of a standing committee, which is not acceptable because they're advisory committees, and it's elevating someone who is an elected of the board to board influence, and I don't think that that's appropriate. Perhaps the bylaws need to be reviewed that in that kind of circumstance, then the committee is suspended until it can be resolved, until the chairmanship can be resolved. We don't have to kill the committee, but you can suspend until the chair is resolved. So, I mean, that's an option, but
okay,
that's my observation.
Okay, well, I think we've taken enough time on this. I do think I do have some public comment. I didn't really call for it yet, so I need to do that. But I don't feel that we need a motion at this time. If the ad hoc understands that its charge right now is to deal with the board bylaws and the bylaws of the standing committees, and the PROS issue will be postponed. But hopefully the ad hoc will bring back a recommendation regarding that, but they're not obligated to do that. Is that all right with everyone? Or do we need more of a motion to be more clear? I think, okay, everyone seems to understand. Okay, but before we move forward and off this item, let me call for public comment. So I will take public comment on this issue right now, and I see Chelsea Foster. So Osana, would you please bring Chelsea in?
Hello, everyone. Just a quick comment, which is more of a question, just purely out of curiosity and standing in the public realm, strictly on, neutral public comment. This, in reviewing the agenda before today's meeting, this one really stood out as potentially a very important topic. And for as much time as was just dedicated to it, clearly it was. Just a couple questions. I know you can't really answer them, but just out of curiosity, if nothing else, why was this topic not approached when the PROS Commission was on earlier doing the report, number one? And two, whenever we're talking about things like revising municipal codes and advisory committees and suspending things as important as the PROS Committee, especially for how many different topics they have going on in town right now, I'm curious, just again, strictly without challenging the board whatsoever, with complete respect, but just again back to that point of transparency. It's just a bit of a question of how this came up, because it seems like a pretty hot topic. So that's all. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Foster. Yes, we're not proposing at all to suspend PROS at this point. So PROS will continue to operate under its present rules until those rules are changed. So we're not by any means wanting to suspend its actions. They're doing excellent work, and none of this discussion should be taken as any kind of implied criticism of how PROS has been going. It's more a matter of how can we make things even better. So anyway, thank you for your comments. Yes, Director Seidel.
Thank you, President Howell. Yeah, I wanted to confirm your statement that if that was what was interpreted by Chelsea Foster, I believe, that the discussion and the reference that I made had nothing to do with PROS. I was talking about the policy committee and the lack of a chairperson associated with that committee. PROS was not part of the discussion at all.
Thank you. And Director Dean.
Yeah, all we were talking about is not working on changing anything with PROS right now. Just to clarify it a little further, PROS is staying the way it is until we move forward a little bit. We're not suspending anything with them. So we're just setting aside working on PROS bylaws, and we're going to deal with standing committee and board. Correct.
Okay. Good. So I think we are clear. I don't think a motion is needed if everyone is, we all think we know what we're doing. So I'll just restate it just so at least, and so if you disagree, then this would be the time. But what I think the sense of the consensus is that the ad hoc should go forward with the review of both the standing committee and board bylaws, and then come back to us with some recommendation. and that the and that they may, if they choose, consider but not necessarily recommend a change to the PROS commission at this time. Does that, anyone object to that? Okay, so we can all look at this recording and remember what we decided. Okay, I think that's enough on that item then. Moving on to the next item 6B. This is discussion and consideration to direct staff to proceed with the permitting phase of the skate park project and to adopt resolution 01-2022 amending the fiscal year 2021 and 2022 budget. So again, let's see General Manager Weigold, if you'll be so good as to present this.
Yes, President Howell. Agenda item 6B is discussion and consideration to direct staff to proceed with the permitting phase of the skate park project and to adopt a resolution 01-2020 amending the fiscal year 2021-2022 budget. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider directing staff to proceed with permitting phase and adopt the resolution amending the budget. Now, the board previously at its December 9th meeting established an annual budget for the skate park. This funding totals $178,000, but it's implemented over a three-year period. This budget adjustment would be the first of the three, which would adjust the budget by $59,333 from the general fund reserves. Going forward then, from a permitting standpoint, there are a number of issues that the board identified through discussion with through the process with the district engineer involving the skate park at the current location. Those are listed in the staff report, but the only way to really get at that and engage the county to understand what's definitely going to be required is to actually file the permit. We've attached a scope of work here that's based off of the original presentation by Spahn Ranch to give you a sense of some of the costs that are going to be involved in that. Among other things, we'll have to hire an engineer. We may need to do some additional drawings. So there are definitely some costs. We've estimated that at $66,000, but that's an estimate. District engineer D'Angelo is standing by to answer some additional questions on this process. But that's the essence here, really, is there is a cost going forward to both in terms of real money as well as staff time. So with that, President Howell, I'll turn it back over to you.
Oh, thank you, Jim Weigold. Let's see, is there any questions for clarification or from the board? Okay, if not, seeing none, we'll move directly to public comment. So this is the call for public comment on item 6B, having to do with directing staff to proceed with the permitting phase of the skate park. Do we have any public comment on this matter? I'll give you just a minute. Oh, I see that. Osana, why don't you go ahead and read the written comments first while the folks out in the audience are making up their minds. Please go ahead.
I do have Chelsea Foster, if you want to take her.
Oh, well, go ahead. Just take Chelsea first. Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead, Chelsea. Unmute yourself.
There we go. You guys are hearing from me a lot today. My only public comment is positive. It is to say that we greatly appreciate everything that has been done for this venture thus far. And as we go forward with the event, I speak for myself for whatever contribution I'm bringing to the table. Thank you so much for letting things happen, because it's about our youth and community and seeing so many different parts of this community come together on this project. And the event that we're planning will just be, you know, a subtle kickoff as to what a positive change this can be. So thank you very much for the participation. It is acknowledged and appreciated.
Well, thank you, Ms. Foster. I see no further public comment from the audience. Osana, do we have any written comment?
Yes, I have one written comment from David Pearson. Good afternoon, board. I think you are moving too quickly on the skate park funding and permit. Before you engage in any activity, you need to have an agreement in place with Skate Cambria. It needs to delineate the responsibilities of each agency, including answering the following. Who decides on the designer for the park? Who decides on the contractor? How will the money be transferred from one entity to the other? How much and when? Who will approve the design? Who will approve change orders affecting that design? Will the district be reimbursed for project management time, administrative time? How and at what rate? Who will maintain the park once it is complete? I know everyone has good intentions here, but those don't work when there is a dispute. Please get an agreement done before spending any money or more time. Thank you, David.
Oh, thank you. And there's no other written? Okay, thanks. All right, coming back to the board, first Director Seidel, followed by Director Gray.
Thank you, President Howell. It's interesting the public comment happened. It's aligned a lot to some of the considerations that I have. I think this agenda item is a little bit too early, and I'd like to explain my position. And because of that, I've written it out because I want to be very precise in this. Before the board members vote to implement this budget revision, I want to take the opportunity to verbalize my very specific opinion regarding the $178,000 commitment that CCSD has made towards the skate park development. Had this commitment not been made by the district, a new skate park on the CCSD parcel would not be possible. The original skate park was not developed, paid for, or owned by the CCSD. It was not an asset of the CCSD and never carried on our financial books. It was accomplished by a community group who contracted with the CCSD for placement on district property. It became a default obligation for the CCSD when the organization who built the project dissolved. There's no legal obligation for the CCSD to replace the skate park. It was taken down due to hazardous conditions for which the district was bearing insurance risk. The community needs to understand that up until the adoption of Resolution 49-2021 in December, there was no funding for the permitting process to proceed, and CCSD could have stepped away from the project altogether. I have offered the idea for funding the equivalency of the Prop 68 grant monies for the skate park, and because of that, I want to be very clear. I view the $178,000 as the limit of CCSD's financial commitment for supporting the movement of the project through the county permitting process. There are still substantial issues ahead of us in this process, which may require a complete reassessment of placing a skate park on that property. There are significant planning exemptions that need to be attained and which are not assured. Additionally, there are potential required studies such as sound, geological, environmental, and archaeological, the results of which could push the practicality of the site beyond reach for pragmatic and financial reasons. I would not support seeing this $178,000 contribution from the district morph into hundreds of thousands more trying to overcome these possible obstacles. I believe that all parties' obligations and financial participation need to be defined before the permitting process proceeds. The Skate Cambria organization will need to participate financially from its donation base, and an agreement needs to be in place to accomplish that and make this important project happen. We have been assured repeatedly by Skate Cambria that there is a significant level of financial contribution and support for this project. The district is relying on that commitment, but it needs to be defined and documented. And interestingly enough, I heard one quote earlier that kind of aligns to some of the thinking that I had when I was going through this, because all of this has been approached by CCSD with good intentions. And there are two things that came to mind, is that no good deed goes unpunished, and the highway to hell is paved with good intentions. So to avoid either of those conditions, I want to make sure that we have some very specific written documentation in place that formulates what the obligations and financial commitments are of the parties that are involved. Right now, I believe that there is not a written documentation or process between Skate Cambria or the Cambria Community Council. If that's the case and has not changed, as they actually were the ones who informed me of that, then it creates a real gaping hole in terms of potential financial impacts for the district, and we need to have all of that resolved before we start our permitting process. We need to have some agreements in place. And thank you for the time, President Howell.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Director Gray.
Yeah, thank you, President Howell, and I want to second Director Steidel's excellent comment, because I agree totally with the gist of what she's saying, which is that we have to hit the pause button here and go back and establish the relationships, especially the public-private partnership that we need to have going forward for both to protect the public and to make sure the funding is secure for this project. My reaction, and I also agree with David Pearson, who was saying, I think, essentially the same thing, that we need something in writing, an agreement that outlines what everybody pays and when the project can go forward. What struck me in this agenda item was the, and I took it as a real red flag when I saw it, we have a budget adjustment, which sets aside $59,333 in this fiscal year to proceed with the permitting process, which of course involves design, involves lots of other things. And then flipping over the page, there's an estimate, very rough estimate based on Aaron Spahn's very ballpark estimate process of this project, that what we're talking about doing would cost $66,000. Approximately. Of course, it could cost much more, because permitting, as is noted in the staff report, can involve lots of other activities other than what is outlined, you know, in the original feasibility study, including possibly environmental review, which might double or triple the cost. So right away, even in this current fiscal year, we are, according to these numbers, going to bust the budget for this project. Well, I was thinking when I saw that, maybe it's time, and it is time, for the private money to kick in, because there's a lot of money that has been raised by Skate Cambria, and it's in an account with the Cambria Community Council, well over $100,000 that could be drawn upon to help with this. Because obviously the whole point of this, of our funding arrangement that's been informal so far, is that most of the costs of this project are going to be borne by the private fundraising. And that's always been the assumption. Well, this is time for it, because we're starting the project. We should start having private money. Well, then I realized that, one, we don't have any real access to that money. We don't have a way to obligate Skate Cambria to give us the money. And we have to be the one, we have to have the money, because we write the checks for the project. It's a public project. They can't pay for anything directly. We have to have the money. So there's no way for us to get the money, because we have no agreement with Skate Cambria, because legally there is no Skate Cambria. They are not a corporation. They're an unincorporated association. They can't enter into any agreement with us as a partner. And furthermore, so the money essentially is locked up. So I totally second what both Director Steidel and former Director Pearson were saying, is that we need to step back, get this worked out, and Skate Cambria to be part of the process and to be part of this public-private partnership, which I think can work, has to immediately proceed to get their incorporation status established and to have a 501c3 status established, which is not rocket science. It's not that hard, but we cannot be partners with anyone. We can't have a written agreement. We can't have a legally binding agreement with anyone that is not a legal entity, like a corporation. So I'm saying there's a couple of things we have to get taken care of before we go proceeding on to the permitting phase. As much as I'd like to see also how much all this stuff costs and, you know, what the details are, we have to deal with this first. I have talked to Mr. Carmel about this at some length, and I don't know if he has anything further to clarify. I did want to ask him one question, though. My understanding is that the community council cannot or does not give grants to any organizations other than nonprofit organizations. And we are not a nonprofit organization by that definition. And so is it true then that we can't actually get the money that's on account with them now? How does that work? And this is directed to Mr. Carmel.
Oh, please, yeah, Mr. Carmel.
Yeah, thank you. I beg the president's indulgence here on this, but yeah.
No problem. Yes, Mr. Carmel, yeah. You'd be so good as to answer, Director.
I don't know the structure of the community council. What was the constraint that would prohibit them from entering into?
Well, they only give grants to nonprofit organizations, and I don't know if we qualify as a nonprofit.
We're not a nonprofit.
My understanding is that the community council would act merely as a pass-through, so there wouldn't be grants per se. But I think you raise an interesting point. You know, how does it look from their perspective?
Yeah.
I only know what we've been told, but as is, it's all informal. Yes, so,
I think the larger problem is that we need a co-part. We need a player. You know, a party on the other side of the agreement. That has obligations that are spelled out. Basically, if we continue to spend this money on our own, we're creating the same situation we were working to avoid when we decided not to apply for the grant, because that, as you remember, would have given us obligation for the full cost of the project. And then we would have kind of rolled the dice to see if we could get enough private money to reimburse us. Well, we don't want to get into that situation again. But at this point, if we continue to spend money of our own, that's where we're headed. So we need to work out the public-private partnership first and get everything cleared up and then go forward.
Okay. Well, thank you, Director Gray. Can we hear from the other directors? Yes, Director Farman.
Well, hearing the fairly strong reluctance here of Directors Steidel and Gray to move forward with this particular item with regard to committing any more district funds to the project, or committing any for that matter. I think perhaps, and I could be wrong here, but since Vice President Dean and myself are the ad hoc committee with regard to dealing with Skate Cambria, that perhaps Ms. Dean and myself can coordinate, communicate with Julie Amadei, who happens to be in the audience, as do other members of Skate Cambria that are supportive of this project. Perhaps we Vice President Dean and myself, can interact with Ms. Amadei and see how they can do, how Skate Cambria can do something to allow other directors to feel more comfortable with moving forward with regard to the district committing some funding here, because this project is definitely going to happen, and for the well-being of all members of this community, and so therefore that's my suggestion.
Okay. Well, thank you, Director Farmer. Yes, Vice President Dean.
You know, I really wish all of these issues had been brought up when we had our meeting giving our support to Skate Cambria for going forward with this project. I feel like this is kind of, the horse is already out of the barn with this. I'm willing to work with Director Farmer and with Skate Cambria and with some advice from our district council if we need it, to make sure all the documents are in order that everyone is concerned about. And I do understand some of the concerns here. But I also wanted to also remind us all that we did show, you know, give our support to Skate Cambria for this project. And we did agree to the $178,000. And I know that there are legal issues that we need to deal with that I'm hearing about today for the first time. But I'm willing to work with Director Farmer and with District Council and with Skate Cambria to see that we get all of those ducks in a row. So do we want to move this agenda item to another meeting so that we can get these things done and revisit the permit application?
Okay, good point. Yes, Director Gray.
I could make a motion. I mean, somewhat along the lines, but a little more specific about what we want to do with Skate Cambria, basically. And I'll make a motion.
Okay.
It'll be a two-part, and we'll see how it goes. I move that we recommend the adoption of Resolution 012022, amending the fiscal year 2021-2022 budget, and that we direct CCSD staff, along with the Skate Park Ad Hoc Committee and District Council, to negotiate a partnership agreement with Skate Cambria that's in accord with the total funding commitment that we have already, the CCSD has already established at $178,000, and that secures funding for each phase of the project.
Okay, do we have a second? I'll give you one more time. I'll call for a second on that. Yes, Vice President Dean, is that a second?
No, I don't quite understand the motion. Are we only moving to adopt the second part of this agenda item, the adopting the resolution amending the fiscal year budget, but not the part of directing staff to proceed?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
I'll withdraw the motion and I'll simplify it.
Okay, let's try that again.
Because maybe the staff and the ad hoc committee should come back with some action or some, you know, plan on the problem of getting an agreement. You know, before we take any motion on that, I'll simply move, and this would close out the motion. I'm close out the item. I would move that we move to adopt Resolution 012022, amending the fiscal year 2021-2022 budget.
So we'll adopt the budget. Okay, is there a second to adopting that? So it's just to adopt the budget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is Director Seidel, is that a second? Are you offering a second?
No, I have a concern in that regard. And my only concern is that as soon as we begin the process and this amount of money is consumed, which it will be, and incrementally the next amount of money is consumed, which it will be in this permitting process. If we don't have all of this resolved, and if we can't have the parties define what their obligations or the financial aspects are to this, how do we resolve that? And the money's already spent. And what does that do in terms of somehow obligating us in some way that we didn't intend? For a financial amount way beyond the $178,000. I think that's why I said initially when I started this thing, I just think the agenda item was too early, because I do think these things needed to be resolved first. You know, not that the $178,000 shouldn't be used in that way, not that anything should happen in terms of, as far as Gate Cambria is concerned, but I think everybody's in a motion of feel good and let's launch and let's go after it. But, and I have no problem with that. I'm like, it's, you know, good intentions, but we do need everyone to be in agreement with what our actions are relative to this and have that documented. And the issue may be with Skate Cambria right now, because I don't know that we can contract with them because they are not an entity. Mm-hmm. But perhaps it is with the Cambria Community Council. But again, I don't know what obligations exist between Skate Cambria and the CCC, although at the time we first looked at the Prop 68 with this, there was no formal agreement in place between the two of them.
Okay. Thank you, Director Steidel. Director Gray?
Yeah, thank you, President Howell. I might direct this question to Director Steidel. I'm happy postponing consideration of this agenda item. Do we want to make a motion at all? I was just asking, you know, to the,
I suggest. Well, I guess, I wouldn't, I'm sorry, President Howell, should I respond?
Yeah, that's okay. We can do that, or I can go ahead and offer a motion that might work. Shall we try mine and see?
Well, I was going to offer the motion, but I mean, if.
No, well, let's do yours then.
Okay. The motion is that, we table this for a date certain, a 30-day delay, which will give the ad hoc committee an opportunity to interface with Mr. Carmel and understand the existing, obligations between Skate Cambria and CCC, and understand whether legally we can establish a partnership with Skate Cambria, and if we can't in their current construct, to be able to, and this is way too large a motion, I understand that. Okay, so a date certain to allow the ad hoc committee to gather additional information to bring back to the board about constructive establishment of working agreements. Mm-hmm.
That would work, I think.
That works.
I think that works.
I second that.
Okay. Let's see. We can't. Osana, did you manage to get all that?
I think it was the simple thing. It was the table to a date certain, 30 days. Or the nearest, let's see, what would be that board meeting?
That would be, how about, you're at the first, it would be the February 9th? No,
February 17th or 9th?
February 10th, actually.
10th. Yeah, 10th.
Okay, to a date certain, February 10th, to allow the established ad hoc to gather information relative to establishing documented working relationships.
Oh, that's good. That's broad enough, I think, that it'll allow for a number of possible solutions. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded what Director Steidel just said. I think we'll pretend that was the chairman restating the motion. Okay, so it's Director Farmer.
Well, I guess I can in some fashion understand the caution that current and former members of the board have expressed here. I just wish this type of scrutiny had taken place back in August the 4th of 2014 when the district committed to the loan for the facility out on San Simeon Creek Road. It's just a feeling I have, that's all.
Okay. Well, thank you, Director Farmer. Any other discussion on this? I don't see any. I do have just a comment. I think that this is probably a good approach. I do want to reiterate that there's nothing we've done today by any stretch of the imagination should be taken as an opposition to the skate park. The real issue is how can we as a public entity effectively and properly proceed? Exactly. I'm a great fan of People's Court, and you know, 90% of the cases are friends who did not have written agreements, tenants and landlords who didn't have written agreements, purchasers who did not have written agreements. Too often, oh, we're all friends, we don't need to make our arrangement explicit. So I think in order to maintain good relations, it's good to have everything well spelled out. So I think this is a good motion. That's my speaking for it. Do anybody else for or against the motion? Okay, and seeing none, then I think we're ready for the question. So Osana, would you please call the roll?
Yes, and I think Director Gray, you seconded?
I seconded, yeah.
Yes, okay. So Director Steidel, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Aye. Director Gray.
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Farmer.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. Vice President Dean.
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. And President Howell.
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. 5 ayes to table it to a date certain for February 10th. And for the ad hoc committee to have a constructive establishment of a working relationship or agreement with Skate Cambria. Right?
It wasn't that they have to have the agreement. No, it was that they have...
Or just have established a working...
How about we go back and look at the recording to see exactly what I said at the
end. What you said, Director.
Yeah. The need for
that.
Thank you. Well, thank goodness for these recordings. So thank you. I think we're ready then for the next item. Okay, this one's going to be easy. This is a discussion and consideration to fill a vacant seat on the Policy Standing Committee. And this item, we will just table indefinitely until we get some applicants, because there are no applicants at the present time. I don't think we need to take an action one way or the other on this.
Okay.
Actually, I probably should have pulled it when we did our agenda review at the very beginning. So am I stretching the rules of order a bit too far, Mr. Carmel, or can we? Okay. All right. So moving then on to item D, and this is discussion and consideration of adoption of resolution 02-2022 pursuant to public contract code section 22050, determining to continue work under the emergency contract for the emergency San Simeon transmission water main repair project. So let's see, do we have any, I guess the first thing would be Mr. General Manager Weigel, would you go ahead and take over on this one?
Sure, thank you, President Hell. So the staff recommends that the Board of Directors consider adoption of Resolution 02-2022, finding that there is a need to continue the emergency action for the San Simeon Transmission Water Main Repair Project in accordance with the Public Contract Code Section 22050. So as the board remembers you held a special meeting on December 28th last year to establish an emergency and authorizing the immediate expenditure of funds to repair the water main. In accordance with the Public Contract Code, that requires that After proceeding with the emergency, the board of directors shall review the emergency action at its next regularly scheduled meeting and at every regular meeting thereafter until the emergency action is terminated. This is simply a continuation of the emergency, because at this time we've outlined the actions to date, but the emergency still continues in staff's view, as we have not yet completed the emergency repair project. District Engineer D'Enzo can talk a little bit more about what's left, but we will, this resolution continues the emergency until the repair is complete.
Oh, thank you, Dan Weigel. So, Mr. D'Enzo, could you give us a little update on how things are going right now?
Yes, thank you, President Howell. I'm going ahead and share my screen just to outline. So as stated on your in your staff report, this is just a figure from the December 28th meeting, where the break happened, and then the bypass line that was constructed. This is these conditions still exist, except that we were able to construct the HDPE line. I'm going to go to the next slide just. Because and this is in your staff report of where we are, but I highlighted some changes and I parenthesized some changes because at the time of the writing, that's what the situation at hand. So the 29th, the construction started right after the board action. Staff installed a temporary tank and pump to provide water service to the customers affected by the break. On January 4th, the HDPE construction was completed, meaning the fusion portion of the project was completed. So that was done. The pressure tests began the next day, and it successfully passed. And then the next day, the disinfection process started. Just to note, these processes took a while because the pressure testing required that we would fill up the pipe with water, and filling up a 2,900 lineal foot of HDPE pipe with a little over 10 inches in diameter. It is about 12,000 gallons. It's a little bit over 12,000 gallons. And we couldn't dispose of it. There's no manhole. There's no regular sewer manhole, I should say, nearby. And there's no storm drain. And there's no storm drain nearby or anything like that. And we couldn't dispose the water in environmentally sensitive habitat. So all of that were challenges to this process. Just is an overall a picture of what's going on here. We were able to use the sewer wet well that was there that the state parks was used, that the state parks uses for the bathrooms. The challenge there is that we were limited of pumping 50 gallons per minute through those sewer wet wells. So meaning that, just to put numbers on that, that means emptying a line would take 4 hours to do every time. So that kind of extended a little bit of the time, increased the time constraint a little bit. So pressure testing, fill it up, and then we flush it. The disinfection process started, we fill it up, and we fill it up with chlorinated water, and we disposed of it, per what I described. And the results of that process, we didn't get the results till the next day. So Friday was when we got the results. Hence, due to the lab processes that we needed to follow, and we passed the bacteriological sampling, so we were able to actually start the connection on Monday, which was this Monday, instead of what we thought originally 1/7, we started on 1/10, which was this Monday. Some other challenges that we faced was, you know, other than the flushing issues that I talked about, there were also some issues of fiber optics utilities that we needed to avoid that kind of got in the way of the trenching activities, because although the actual HDPE line is surface over overland surface installation, the points of connection are going to be below ground. And we needed a trench on part of the road, which is happening right now as we speak. So, the challenge that we faced yesterday is we needed to drain a portion of that line, about 10,000 gallons worth of water. And again, we needed to truck all of that water out. We couldn't send it to the wet well this time. We needed to truck it out. So there were several truck trips that we did in order to do that. And kudos to our wastewater department. Again, the Vector truck, again, showed up as part of the hero of this saga. So so all of that being said, we recommend that the emergency continue. I was hoping that I can tell you that we've finished the project today, but I think we are realistically going to complete this project mid next week. And because once we get everything connected, we still have to go through our flushing process.
Oh, yeah.
And all of that would take some time. But anyway, that concludes my presentation of an update of where we're at the moment. And again, because of that, we recommend that the board adopt the resolution to continue the emergency. And I'm available for questions.
Excellent. Oh, thank you, Mr. D'Anzo. So first of all, do we have any questions from board members for Mr. D'Anzo or Jim Weigold? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to the attendees for public comment. So any folks out there, do you have any observations or questions or things related to this particular emergency and the work that was done out there on San Simeon? Okay, seeing none, I think we are ready to proceed back to the board. So do we have any debate or discussion of this from the board? Seeing none, here is Director Gray. Go ahead.
I wanted to make a motion, but I mean, if Director Farmer wanted to speak. Okay, I move that we adopt resolution 02-2022 pursuant to public contract code section 22050, determining to continue work under emergency contracts for the emergency San Simeon transmission water main repair project.
Do you Director Farmer, you wish to second?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and second that, but yeah. I do have a question. Ray, do we have any idea when we'll get an accurate cost on this project?
We would probably have an accurate cost hopefully by the next time I give you a presentation. So, you know, by the next board meeting.
Okay. So in your utilities report, you might have something at that time.
Yeah, I think I'll have a better handle on that.
Yeah. Okay. First, I want to, I know this has been kind of a awkward situation out there in the community, and some people had a certain amount of skepticism, but I want to thank you, Ray, for the most part, taking really quick action on this and for the work that Hartzell has done. Perhaps at some point, Ray, maybe at the next meeting, you can give us an idea as to what we need to do to pursue a more permanent fix with regard to this very important issue. And when that will be done by the road, the permitting process, and how much that would cost. And if you can't get that done by your next utilities report, perhaps in February.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Any additional questions, comments from the board? Seeing none, I think we're ready for the question. So, Osana, Director Farmer, your hand is still up.
Yeah, I'm trying to take it down there.
Okay, just wanted to be sure. Okay, so again, seeing no further debate, I think we're ready for a vote on this. So, Osana, would you please call the roll?
Yes, President Howell. Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. Director Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Aye. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. 5 ayes unanimously to adopt resolution 02-2022. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Osana. And may I say, may I just sort of to close this item out, Mr. D'Enzo, I want to thank you and your staff for your quick action on this issue. Not ever for a moment have I felt in the least insecure. I felt that you... it was handled with very well and very expeditiously. So thank you so much for keeping our community healthy and safe. Thank you very much. So moving onwards now to the next section, which will be the board member and liaison reports. And we'll, some of these are written. Well, I'll call them out, and if there's even though there is a written report, if it's desirous, in this case, for example, we have the Finance Committee report from Tom Gray. Tom, Director Gray, do you have anything to add to the report, or would you like to make any emphasize any points? Or
I think it's complete.
Okay, it's your chance though if you wanted to say more. Okay, so the Finance Committee report, for those who are in the it is in the agenda packet and available for your perusal. Okay, do we have? Is there any public comment regarding the Finance Committee's report? Seeing none, Policy Committee report. This is one I will read. I'm acting as the unofficial liaison to the Policy Committee. So I will read to you what the Policy Committee Vice Chair has written as the report. And this is, I'll just read it as it's written here. This is a Policy Committee report to the CCSD Board written by Gordon Heinrichs for the following item to be read. So he's asking, I'd invited him to speak himself if he wished, and he chose to provide a written report. by Gordon Heinrichs, Policy Committee Vice Chair. Chairman Howell announced that he's been elected board president, so he has resigned as Policy Committee Chair to give his full focus to the president's job. He outlined the process for electing a vice chair and a secretary for the committee. The board has not appointed a board member to be liaison to the committee at this time, so the vice chair, elected by the committee, will lead the meetings. He described the responsibilities of both the vice chair and the secretary. He offered to be unofficial liaison between the committee and the board until the board appoints an official chair. The committee members thank Chairman Howell for his past support and work with the committee. The committee nominated and approved Gordon Heinrichs as vice chairman and Deborah Scott as secretary. The committee approved the policy committee meeting dates for 2022 to be held at 3 p.m. on the fourth Thursday of each month, except for the months of November is changed to December 1st, and December is changed to December 29th. Policy 1040.2, responding to correspondence to the board, was made into a motion that accepted the draft policy changes with the suggested minor revisions and forwarded it to the board for their consideration. The final version of a policy regarding climate change was motioned to postpone consideration of this policy until the next regularly scheduled policy committee meeting so that further amendments may be incorporated into the policy. Policy 2300, emergency preparedness, was motioned to postpone consideration of the policy until the next regularly scheduled committee meeting so that further amendments may be added. Finally, the CCSD policy manual updated for the committee members was requested for the next meeting to be investigated by Osana Tartarian. Next meeting will be January 27th at 3 p.m. So if there's any questions regarding that report or any comments, I could take those and pass those back to the committee. So do we have any commentary or questions from the board? Seeing none, do we have any public comment on this particular report? Seeing none, let's move on then to the R&I committee report. And there is no written report today, but I believe Vice President Dean has something to say.
We did not have a meeting in December, which is why you do not have a written report. And normally my report for the meeting we just had on Monday will be in next month's agenda packet. But I would like to bring up a couple of things that we did discuss that I think are important. And besides the normal routine things of electing a vice chair, secretary, and reviewing ad hoc committees, et cetera, we had an excellent and very thorough update on several topics from District Engineer D'Enzo, and that I would encourage members of the public who did not attend, and there was only one member of the public there, watch the recording and hear what Mr. D'Enzo had to say, because he gave a very thorough update on where we are in the CDP process, on where we are with the SST program, and all of the just enormous amount of things that the utilities department has accomplished in the past year. And it was a very thorough report, and I believe it would answer a lot of the questions that the public normally asks on these items. And I'm sure he will include some of this in his utilities report. And our next meeting will be February 7th at 2 o'clock.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Is there any questions for Vice President Dean or any comments regarding the summary report? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Director Gray.
Just to thank Vice President Dean for telling us about the presentation, because I'll tune into it. Sounds like it was very good.
Yes, I'd like to second what she says. I was a fly on the wall during that meeting, and that's where it gets to my point, is to sometimes what comes out in these advisory committee meetings is much deeper and more thorough than what we get at this level. Mm-hmm. And so it's very advantageous. So I highly recommend it. And it's entertaining besides. So it's good. Good is good watching. It's free. Are there any other liaison? And oh yes, we do have some other liaison reports or ad hoc committee reports. Do we have any that are not written? So anyone that would like to make a report on one of their, okay, Director Farmer, and I see you have a couple of written reports as well, so please go ahead.
Thank you. First, I want to concur. President Howell and myself were in the audience there at the recent R&I meeting, but we're not able to speak or contribute in any way, shape, or form, but I just wanted to second what Chair Dean said. With regard to the report from Mr. D'Enzo, and thank you, Ray. With regard to my report from the Cambria Forest Committee, I don't know how I wound up making this error with regard to, I gave a brief report on what is happening up at Camp Ocean Pines and what will be happening in the future with regard to planting seedlings that the young people will be involved in. And I just gave some bad numbers there, and I don't know what I was thinking or not thinking, as the case may be. So where I say in the first paragraph that 250 Monterey Pine seedlings are going to be involved, it's actually only 50 seedlings, 50 Monterey Pine tree seedlings, and only 10 of them will be planted per month for 5 months. So the other figures that I have there are not correct, and so it's my slight embarrassment I have to state that, but we're definitely looking forward to having that project take place and have the young folks be involved. I also want to follow up, since the Forest Committee had the February meeting last night, one of the main items that's discussed here is the fuel reduction project out on the Cobell Ranch. Mm-hmm. And much has happened with regard to that project since this report. And so it was a major topic of discussion last night. And so I'll be giving more on that at the next Forest Committee report. But this is an issue that, with regard to what's happening on the Cobell Ranch, that hopefully will get more exposure as time goes on. So thanks very much. Thank you, Director Howell. And there was no meeting, by the way, there was no meeting of FFRP committee board, I should say, last month, but they'll be having their annual meeting as well as their regular meeting, as they usually do on the third or fourth Saturday of the month in January, which is going to be the 22nd of this month. So anybody that wishes to participate, you can probably go to the FFRP website and get more information on that. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Director Farmer. Does anyone on the board have any questions or comments for Director Farmer? All right. Seeing none, I do see we have some public comment on this report. So, Osana, if you'd be so good as to bring in Crosby and Laura Swartz.
Okay. Thank you, President Howell. I had a quick comment on this, on the liaison report for the Forest Committee. And before I make my comment, I wanted just to take this opportunity to thank the Cambria Community Council for awarding a grant to the Forest Committee for the Camp Ocean Pines tree planting project. And my other comment, Director Farmer has already taken care of, for this particular project, it was always intended to be 50 Monterey pines to be planted. Hopefully in the future we can get up to 250, but it was always 50 for this project. It was not a problem of availability of trees or anything like that. So I'll mention green space. The Cambria Land Trust is going to be providing the trees at a highly discounted rate for this project because it's for Camp Ocean Pines, and we also appreciate that. So thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Mr. Swartz. Okay, we see no further public comment, so I believe we are finished with this item, ready for future agenda items. So the floor is open here if anyone would like to suggest a future agenda item. Yes, Director Gray.
Yeah, thank you, President Howell. This comes maybe ill-timed after a very short meeting, but I noticed in reviewing the bylaws, actually, this is kind of tangential to that, but that the bylaws themselves do not set a time for the meeting, and they say that the time can be established by resolution of the board whenever the board wants to do that. And I had a suggestion to make that we look into, in consultation with the staff, starting somewhat earlier in the afternoon than 2 o'clock, either 1:30 or 1, depending on what works best for the staff. I think we have trouble. Most of the time, we have trouble meeting the 3 o'clock limit, and I don't want to, you know, unnecessarily impinge on people's dinner hours, going home, staffers especially, but also us sometimes. And I was wondering if we could consider, as an agenda item, after consulting with staff, a time of 1 o'clock, and if not, obviously this depends on what works. 1 o'clock start time, all the rules staying in effect as to the 3-hour limit and so forth.
Okay, well, thank you for that. That's an interesting suggestion. I see some nodding of heads too. Any other things for our future agendas? Not seeing anything right off here. Okay, just a reminder, you all should have received your questionnaires regarding the strategic plan update, so you're all working on that. Again, a reminder to the public, folks who might not have heard my announcement, We are having a strategic planning session on February 25th. And prior to that, on February 24th, we will devote the entire, whatever, however long it takes, to take whatever public input will be available. So I do invite members of the public to please consider attending that Monday meeting. And provided there's sufficient time, I will allow you to speak as long as you wish, as long as everyone gets a chance to talk and nobody monopolizes the microphone. So I look forward to hopefully seeing a whole lot of folks there. I have a question, and I don't know if this is in order, Mr. Carmel, so I can, it's just an informational issue. The topic came up earlier, and I meant to ask it then, do we have any other examples of public-private cooperation where the district has a public-private relationship with some, are there any other existing examples of that in historically? Does anyone remember any?
Not during my tenure here.
Well, that's a long one. So, okay. I was hoping that maybe we could get some guidance if it had been done before. Okay. Yes, Director Gray.
I just know from my experience in the area, the county has a couple of those going on the recreation side. So, or at least one or two. So the county has done that sort of thing. And I don't know, I also don't remember the CCSD ever having a public-private partnership. It's pretty common in recreational facilities, parks and bike paths and stuff like that.
Yeah, actually that suggests an agenda item to me. I don't know when or if we do it, but I think we should probably, it would be very productive for us to explore other opportunities for public-private cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be something. I'll just make a little note there if we can squeeze it in sometime. Yes, Director Farmer.
This isn't going to be my comment, but it's nice to know that other agencies are pursuing something like this along the recreation and the recreation area, since that obviously is exactly what the skate park is. I just wanted to mention, following up on your comment, President Howell, with regard to the town hall meeting, and you said that you were obviously encouraging members of the public to attend and participate, and you were talking about you wanted to hear folks speak and talk as much as they wanted, and I just wanted to, how can I say it, kind of correct something in that there still will be a 3-minute time limit, but people can talk more than once. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you for that. Yes. But yes, you can have more than one bite of the apple in that particular meeting, provided there's enough time. Now, you know, if you got 100 people come, that might not be possible, but I don't think that's like that. Yes, Director Dean, Vice President Dean.
Okay, so I may be forgetting something here, but I know that we have a questionnaire. We on the board have a questionnaire that we have to fill out ahead of time for the strategic plan. But does the public have a questionnaire to fill out, or is there only the opportunity to speak on Monday, that Monday?
That's actually an interesting point, but as it's set up right now, there's just an opportunity to speak. The other people, though, besides us here, the board members present, there will be like 10 other folks who will also be receiving the questionnaires. But for the 100 folks that I'm hoping will come on Monday, there won't be a written assignment for them.
Thank you. I knew it was more than just the board that has the questionnaire, but it slipped my mind who. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions? I can't believe that this is early. We want to spend a whole nother hour. We have to go home early. Harry Farmer. Yeah, Director Farmer.
This is fairly obvious, but for folks that might be working on Monday morning and therefore can't attend the town hall meeting, so to speak, that they obviously can submit some type of written comment.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much for mentioning that. Yes, we shouldn't forget that option. So thank you very much for that. And those of you, you know, you might want to talk to your neighbors, stuff, try to see if you can drum up some interest. It's nice if we don't feel like we're working in a vacuum. So it would be really good to hear from folks. Any other comments? Yes, Director Dean.
May we also ask General Manager Weigel to make sure he posts this on social media for those who don't watch this meeting?
By post this, you mean this meeting or?
No, post the public comment meeting for January 24th
in advance. Yes. So yeah, GM Weigel, let's try to get the word out. I'll try to put something in the Cambria CA little newspaper as well. I've been asked to write something for that. We'll just talk it up in every venue we can. Okay, any further comments? Any other parting shots here as we wish to, okay. Well, in that case, I look forward to seeing you all in 2 weeks. So thank you very much.
Next week.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, I have no plans of going anywhere anyway. So yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, next week. So looking forward to it. Next time, next same bat place, same bat time. And we'll be here.
Everybody have a good weekend.
Everybody, yes. Have an excellent weekend and stay healthy.
That too, sure.
Yes.
Recording stopped.